What is the secret of the Lord, and why is it essential for America to recover the secret of the Lord?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, do we have a bunch of important things to talk about today, and I'm so glad we can share this time together. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call. You want to weigh in at any point, you want to ask a question, you want to take issue with something, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can weigh in on our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. Okay, a couple of important announcements, and then I'm going to bring on a guest with me to talk about the secret of the Lord, what it is, and why it's so essential for America today. Special announcement for all my friends in the greater D.C. area listening on WAVA, on WAVA. Right now, you're listening, but you can see me face-to-face August 3rd, Friday night, 7:30. Put it on your calendar. Join me. We're going to have a special night. I'm going to minister the word to you, going to give you a vision of what we're doing in ministry, even hope to have a time of Q&A, do a book signing, 7:30 p.m., and it's going to be in Oakton, Virginia, at Whole Word Fellowship. That's on Vail Road. If you miss any of this, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and right down on the bottom of the page there is the itinerary. I'll be preaching in that region over the weekend as well. But Friday night, that is our time to meet you face-to-face. Also, I've got a bunch of things of great importance I'm going to be sharing in the second half hour of this hour. Now, I know those of you listening on WAVA FM, you only get the first half hour. But remember, 5 to 6 in the evening on the AM station, you can listen to the whole hour. All right, a bunch of important announcements to share with you, some important news, things happening in society. We're going to weigh in and bring you a kingdom perspective, but we're going to start right here. My guest, Chuck Crismeyer, is a radio host, has been for many years. I've been on his show a good number of times, and he's written an important book that really speaks to my heart, resonates with my heart, The Secret of the Lord, The Hidden Truth That Defines Your Destiny. Chuck, thanks for joining us on my radio show today.
Well, Michael, it is indeed a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. All right. We just have a minute and a half in our opening segment here, but can you give me an overview of the state of the nation from your perspective right now?
Well, the state of the nation is definitely not good, and that's probably the understatement of the hour. We are in desperate, desperate trouble, and it's not just a matter of an economy that's in chaos. It's not just a matter of political arguments and foreign policy and all of the usual things that consume our conversation with regard to elections. The more fundamental problem is a problem of the heart, a problem of the mind and the heart and the will and the very personage of our country. And our original founders, our political founders even, understood that the very heart and foundation of the country was not rooted in government, but was rooted in God. We have a motto that says, in God we trust, but the reality is that it has become only a motto for us, and that God himself has become little less than a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Our trust has been shifted so dramatically away from the God who made and preserved us a nation to the point where we're being led to shift our trust almost exclusively to government. Now, the problem with that is...
Well, tell you what, yeah, let me just jump right in. Obviously, if we shift our trust from God to government, we're already on a dangerous path. The prophets constantly warned about leaning on the arm of the flesh. We're going to pick that up, and then Chuck is going to tell us what the secret of the Lord is and why it's essential for America today, beginning in the church.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It's a secret because the Bible says it is. It is God's secret because he's declared it to be secret, yet it is a secret God desires to disclose to all who seek it, unlocking all of the covenantal blessings and promises of God both on earth and for eternity. That's what my guest, Chuck Crismeyer, has to say. He's the author of the book, The Secret of the Lord. I'm looking at it right now. I have a copy myself, of course, but I'm looking at it right now on Amazon.com where it is available. Chuck's last name, Crismeyer, C-R-I-S-M-I-E-R, but known as Charles Crismeyer on the title of the book there. Yeah, I've always known you as Chuck, but Charles, I guess, is the official name there, right?
Well, it is. I'm the third Charles in a series, and the people have always called me Chuck, and I prefer that. And
on the cover of the book, got to say Charles, though, I guess. All right. Just briefly, you were saying that we have shifted our trust from God to government. That's a very clear statement. How can you back that up? What's your basis for saying that?
Well, by the way, that is true whether or not you label yourself liberal or conservative. It just mm-hmm. manifests itself a little bit differently. And the mere fact that we look for salvation to a political savior, be he liberal or be he conservative, is a manifestation that we put an inordinate amount of our trust in government and governmental saviors. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if for the past 30 to 40 years, even professing Christians, evangelical Christians, have been looking for a political savior to ride into Washington, or maybe Jesus himself, on a white steed with a divine sword at his hand with the word conservative written on the side.
And he's going to fix everything, and all the problems are going to go away. Right.
Now,
right.
The problem with that, Michael, is that, as has been said, a government that is powerful enough to give you everything you want is powerful to take everything you have. Mm. And the danger here is that when you have shifted your trust from God to government, you will no longer fear God, but fear government. And one of the main reasons we are shifting like this is that for the past 50 years, we have gradually drifted away from the fear of the Lord and increasingly fear man. In the fear of man, we then look to government to secure our interests. And so in a way, we are betraying ourselves away from the God who has promised to be our protector, to be our provider, to be our hope, to be our shelter in the time of storm, to be our salvation, to be our hope for the future. And we've shifted our focus away from him that was rooted in the fear of the Lord. And now, as the scripture says, you will fear man, but here's the rub. The fear of man always brings a snare.
Yep.
And that's
scripture's
where we are,
clear on that.
And we're growing in increasing terror of the tyranny of government because we are walking away, in fact, running away from the fear of the Lord.
All right. Are you advocating a theocracy where...
No.
We now okay, so let's make that clear. I know you're not, but some people hear this and they immediately think, well, this is a theocracy, and you want a Christian America where everyone's required to go to church on Sunday and read their Bible or their penalties against them. You're not talking about that, but you're talking about something much deeper. I've recently been reemphasizing that the greatest moral crisis in America is the lack of the consciousness of God and lack of fear of God, and I'm not advocating a theocracy either. So articulate that, and then tie that in with the theme of the secret of the Lord.
Well, let's look at a secular fellow by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville, a secular Frenchman, observer, modern-day sociologist, so to speak, of that type, who came over here in about 1830 to find out what it was that made America great. France had had a revolution at about the same time that we did, the storming of the Bastille, We had both had cries. Ours was like freedom and virtue and liberty were connected. In France, it was liberty, equality, and fraternity. Mm-hmm. But France deposed God and raised up in Paris the statue of the goddess of reason. And so France absolutely, totally rejected God. So Alexis de Tocqueville comes out of over here in that scenario, and he observes for 3 years what's going on in this country. And he records that in his book, Democracy in America, and he says, you know, it's the first thing that I noticed when I came to this country was the absolute clarity and the spiritual direction of the country. Mm-hmm. He said it wasn't as if everyone was a professing Christian. However, they all took the scriptures and the word of God with hardly any exception, took them as the rule for faith and practice and their laws and so on. And he said it was as if in France, liberty and religion went in opposite directions. But in America, religion and liberty went hand in hand. Now, that's amazing. And then he said, it was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I saw and understood the secret of her genius and power. Well, here's the deal. When you preach righteousness, you are actually preaching the fear of the Lord, because it's the Lord who is the righteous judge, you see, who is ultimately going to judge the quick and the dead, so to speak, or the alive and the dead. He is the one who is going to make the final determination. We don't talk about judgment and justice anymore. We don't talk about righteousness. I spoke with a pastor of a leading evangelical church a few years ago concerning this, and he hung his head. This was a private conversation. He hung his head, Michael, in front of me, and he said, Chuck, I don't think I even know how to preach righteousness.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a massive indictment for quite a number of reasons. Obviously, it's something that both of us have sounded the alarm on many a time through radio and through preaching and writing. But you talk about the fear of the Lord, you talk about righteousness, you talk about where America was in the past, a certain consciousness of God, a certain reverence for Scripture, even if people were not all professing Christians. But how does that tie in with this concept of the secret of the Lord? I mean, that's the title of your book, The
Exactly.
Secret of the Lord. What's the secret?
Well, a couple of years ago, as I was reading through the Scriptures with my wife, as I always do every morning, we came across Psalm 25:14. And as I was reading, it was as if the Holy Spirit just shone a laser beam down on that particular verse. And here's what it says. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and to them he will show his covenant.
Mm.
The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him, and to them and them only he will show, manifest, reveal, make practical, make the promises of God come alive. And I thought, wow. And no sooner did I come to this recognition as I'm sitting there reading, than the Holy Spirit said this, Chuck, that is what's wrong with your country. You no longer fear me. From the pulpit to the pew, from the church house to the White House, there is no more fear of the Lord.
All right, let me just jump in. One thing to talk about godless society, people who don't know the Lord, not fearing him, atheists, not even believing him, but you're saying that within the church, among believers, there is a conspicuous lack of the fear of the Lord. We have just about a minute before the next break, but expand on that. I agree with you, but give me your reasoning behind it, that there is a lack of the fear of the Lord among the people of God today.
Well, we want the blessings of God, but we don't want the burden of God. We want to experience all the promises of God, but we don't want to embrace the purposes of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of our wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, the Scripture says. Well, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we have progressively abandoned the fear of the Lord in our churches, in our pulpits, in our preaching, then we are in a terrible, terrible disarray. And when you consider, I'll just give you a set of facts, Michael, this might shake some people up.
Go for it.
But they preach.
Well, tell you what. We'll get to these facts so you don't have to cut them off. We've just got 15 seconds before the break. We'll come back to this, and then I want you to tell our listeners how they can benefit from your book, The Secret of the Lord, The Hidden Truth That Defines Your Destiny by Charles Crismier, C-R-I-S-M-I-E-R. Ask your local Christian bookstore if they have it, and if not, why they're not carrying it. You can order it online. We'll give you Chuck's website when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the broadcast. We have a whole lot of ground to cover over this next hour, but I'm delighted right now to have a few more minutes with my guest, Chuck Crismier, most recently the author of the book, The Secret of the Lord, The Hidden Truth That Defines Your Destiny. When you search for it, it'll be under the name Charles Crismier, C-R-I-S-M-I-E-R. Chuck, before we get to the stats and back to your book, what's your website and how can people listen to your radio show, which goes on right after my 2 hours finish?
Yes, it's saveus.org. That's SAVEUS.org. And be delighted to have people listen in, and they can still listen to you and listen to me at the same time. Well,
got it. So you're on
right after the other.
You're on from 4 to 5 daily?
From 4 to 5 p.m., yes.
All right, that's Eastern Standard Time. And folks can actually listen online?
Yes, they can. And hopefully the problem that we were having a week ago has been corrected, and that would be the case. And they can listen any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, right there on the archives of saveus.org.
Wonderful. Glad to hear that and to know that. Okay, you were going to give us some stats.
Yeah.
That give an indication that the fear of the Lord is lacking in the church. Go for it.
All right. Let me preface that with these words. The word fear is a four-letter word. The word obey is a four-letter word. The fear of the Lord is manifested most appropriately, most explicitly in obedience to the Lord. If we do not obey the Lord, we do not fear him. And the word obey is the most hated, despised word in the church today, from pulpit to pew. I have had dozens and dozens of pastors on my program who have admitted that. The word obey is not liked in the church. Yet it's the only thing that Jesus said will please God. The only thing. It is the manifestation of genuine faith. Now, given that statement, let's look at these statistics. In the last 20 years, the divorce rate in the church has equaled or exceeded the nation as a whole. In the last 15 years, the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%. This is the Bible Belt of America. In the last 15 years, the divorce rate among our pastors has been the second highest of all professions in our country. Yet Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. The Apostle Paul said, don't be deceived. Neither adulterers, nor fornicators, nor practicing homosexuals are going to inherit the kingdom of God. We don't believe those things anymore because we don't fear God. If we feared God, Michael, we wouldn't have the marital problems that we have in our country. If we feared God, we wouldn't even be dealing with the homosexual issue, because the homosexual issue was driven by the church that embraced divorce and remarriage against the Word of God, giving the homosexual community the foundation to make their arguments that we no longer believe in the authority of the Word of God. It's an echoing problem, and it's calling us to a place of massive repentance. And when we do, meaning that we come to agreement with God's viewpoint, then we will experience the secret of the Lord which unfolds and stretches before us through God's favor, his mercy, and his grace, all of the magnificent promises. And then, like ancient Israel, when they obeyed, we also will receive the blessings of Abraham. But like ancient Israel, when they refused, they did not receive the secret of the Lord.
Yeah, and Chuck, I think as folks read the book, the benefits, the blessings of the fear of the Lord unfold. And I did a study on this many, many years ago and was amazed to see the smile of God that comes on the obedient and how the fear of the Lord is a positive, not a negative thing. First and foremost,
it's the most positive thing in the Bible.
Yeah, we want to love him and honor him. That's first and foremost. But as we do, because he's good and his ways are ways of life, blessing comes. Hey, Chuck, we've got to run the website saveus.org, S-A-V-E-U-S.org. The book, The Secret of the Lord, The Hidden Truth That Defines Your Destiny by Charles Krismeyer. Chuck, thanks for taking time to be with us. Have a blessed broadcast
later today. Well, thank you. You're a blessing, my friend.
All right. Thanks so much. All right, friends. One thing, you know, we have been asked questions. In fact, I think on Friday I'm going to address the divorce question again. I believe there are some cases where divorce and remarriage can be valid. I would say a tremendous amount, if not the bulk of divorce and remarriage in the church is contrary to Scripture plainly. But that is another subject. Chuck's absolutely right in terms of the absence of the fear of the Lord from so many of our circles. Friends, later in the broadcast, we're going to tell you about what's happening in Miami-Dade County Public Schools in Florida, where a Baptist pastor, a black Baptist pastor, who preached a couple of sermons after the president's announcement that he had evolved, quote, in his views of redefining marriage, same-sex so-called marriage. And this pastor explained why we oppose these things. The head of the schools wants to evict him. Southern Baptist Church wants him evicted. Said it appears to be contrary to school board policy as well as the basic principles of humanity. Friends, I've been telling you this is coming. So you can keep listening online if you're going to be losing us at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. A few more things coming down the pike I want to talk to you about. Also, if you didn't yet take advantage of the special offer, excuse me, with Logos. Remember, you can just buy one book or two and you'll still get free software with it, and you'll still have any of your contribution, 15% will go to us right here at the Line of Fire. But if you get a base package, you get a 15% discount. And as the rep from Logos yesterday told us, it's the best price you'll ever get. So here is the number to call. That is 1-800-875-6467. They told us we got a great response yesterday, and we're extending this to the end of the week only. That's all we can do. 1-800-875-6467. We've got to mention the Line of Fire, all right? Or go to logos.com, logos.com/lineoffire. Make sure you just enter that code when you place your order. You'll be blessed, and we'll be blessed, and Logos will be blessed. They're doing a great work. Can I just share something with you as family? Is that all right? Can I do that? Another reminder, Friday night, August 3rd, so that's, 9 days from today, Whole Word Fellowship, Oakton, Virginia, Vale Road, 7:30 p.m. We'll be doing a special radio rally. We'll have a time of worship. I'll bring you a message burning in my heart, share a vision of what we're doing in ministry that will edify, bless you. I'll do a book signing, maybe have some Q&A if time permits. So make sure you're there. It's going to be a special night. And let me just share this with you as family. One of my closest ministry colleagues in the world, in India, shared with me something that's happening in about 3 weeks that I need to join him for in India on very short notice. It's an expense we did not have in our budget, which is very tight already. And I said, well, I'm going to just share the need. I've got to get over there for a few days. If you want to help us, tax-deductible gift, give a call, 1-800-278-9978. It'll automatically go towards the India trip. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click donate. Hey, remember, Jesus is Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. It's Wednesday, which means focus on the world, focus on moral and cultural issues. To weigh in, and you're going to want to when you hear some of the things I'm about to share with you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Okay, I have said for many years that gay activists who came out of the closet in the late 60s, fighting for what they felt were their equality, their rights, for tolerance, they who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. Now, your average homosexual identified man or woman is not an activist just trying to live their life and say, hey, just let me live and don't bother me. So I just want to have a productive life like anybody else. But they're activists. The activists who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet, meaning they will not tolerate other opinions. That tolerance goes one way only. That tolerance is a matter of you embrace gay activism and you reject any position to the contrary. So listen to what is happening right now in the Miami-Dade County Public Schools. This is local news there in Florida reporting on this.
The Miami-Dade School District is looking to evict a pastor who rents space in a public school to deliver some very controversial sermons. The district claims the pastor's message could promote prejudice.
Local 10's Jeff Weinseer is live now outside North Miami Senior High School with an update to a story he first reported last night at 11. Jeff.
Well, the Miami-Dade School District actually generates millions of dollars renting space to organizations and groups. Not only that, the high courts have actually forced school districts to allow religious organizations access to schools like this after hours. One pastor's words in the walls of the school right here, not sitting well with the superintendent.
Homosexuality is not God's intended design.
Pastor Jack Hakimian calls it the Word of God. He calls it freedom of speech, and he preaches and teaches here inside North Miami Senior High School every Sunday. But the Miami-Dade School District wants him out. In a recent sermon, he compares homosexuality to drug abuse and witchcraft.
I don't think homosexuality is any more of a greater sin than fornication, drug abuse, idolatry, witchcraft.
His sermons are on YouTube. They're titled Gays and Sex Addicts Can Change and Should Change. In a statement to Local 10, Superintendent Alberto Carvalho says Hakimian's teachings, quote, appear to be contrary to school board policy as well as the basic principles of humanity, and I have asked for immediate legal review to seek the termination of the contract that is involved. I am making this decision not on the basis of policy or politics, but as a rejection of prejudice and intolerance.
All right, I'm going to jump in right there. Thank God that any of the quotes I've seen from this pastor, the few that I've seen in terms of him speaking to the media, he's gracious, he's soft-spoken, and he's pointing out, hey, look, this is the Bible. People put their hands on this Bible when they're sworn into office. Our president does, right? He's sworn into office. And he's just quoting from Scripture. And when they say he's comparing homosexuality to witchcraft and drug abuse, what he's saying is, I don't think it's worse than any other sin. And he lists a bunch of sins that Scripture speaks of, most of them directly. Drug abuse is not spoken of as directly, but it lists these others in Scripture. And he's just saying, I don't think it's any worse than this. He's talking about homosexual practice. And the school board, the head of the school board, wants him out. This is against the principles of tolerance. Friends, I've been telling you, this has happened in other countries, all right? It's going to happen in America. If we don't stand and speak up for what's right today, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and our grandkids. We're going to have to explain to them why we were so cowardly, why we were so afraid to speak the truth in love, with compassion, why we cowered in a corner. While we bow down to political pressure, financial pressure, popular pressure, whatever it is, wake up time, friends.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH to get into the discussion. I'm going to be going to the phones shortly. Oh, what's this note I have in front of me? Sister Wives stars sue Utah, say polygamy ban is unconstitutional. But of course, is this any surprise? Yes, the problem begins with us, God's people. Yes, if we had been living right as a church nationally and honoring the Lord in our marriage, in our family, in our morality, these other things would not be happening. Yes, we have opened the doors. And yes, we must repent first. I believe that with all my heart. And if you listen to me regularly, if you've read my books over the years, you know that's where the emphasis is. At the same time, we're called to be watchmen on the wall. We need to stand and warn and speak the truth in love, regardless of cost or consequences. I'm on the front lines of this battle, friends. I've been called by the Lord to do it. I understand the pressure and the opposition firsthand. I experience it every day. I'm not making a martyr out of myself. I don't mean that in the least. I'm just saying there's a lot of opposition. And many people run from it rather than stand and do what is right and true. So this pastor, using a public school, paying, $1,400 a month rent for it, and the Supreme Court has ruled that these public schools can be used. If you're going to open up to one group, you have to open up to another group. So many churches use these buildings. I'm sure other religious groups use these buildings as well, public schools, and they pay, and they have certain responsibilities there. And the pastor is simply saying that homosexual practice is a sin like any other sin. And he said, I never thought I'd be penalized for teaching on Christian marriage and sexual ethics from the Bible, the very Bible the president swears on. the head of the Miami-Dade County Public Schools, Superintendent Alberto Carvalho, said, I'm making this decision not on the basis of policy or politics, but as a rejection of prejudice and intolerance. Friends, this is an example of prejudice and intolerance. The fact that we cannot hold to the definition of marriage that's always been held to through our society and through world history as the union of a man and a woman. The fact that we can't hold to the biblical definition. The fact that we can't hold to the definition that joins a kid with his mom and a dad. That's prejudice and intolerance against us. And I imagine if you sat and listened to Pastor Kimian preach, that you'd leave the building with a heart of love for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender as let's get them, let's get these wicked people. No, they're quite the contrary. Look, I've been sounding the alarm. We back away from the redefinition of marriage issue. Why? Because we don't want to be controversial, because we don't want to be political. We back away from that. I've been telling people, next thing that's coming. I mean, for years I've been saying this. Next thing that's coming is you will not be allowed to say that homosexual man or woman can change. You will not be allowed to say that. You won't be allowed to preach it or teach it. There's a bill going forward in California, SB 1172, that would make it illegal for a professional counselor, therapist, to counsel someone under 18 years old, even with parental consent and the young person's desire, if they have unwanted same-sex attractions, illegal to counsel them. If you're over 18, you have to sign all these things saying this could be dangerous and it probably won't work and so on and so forth. Utterly outrageous. Next, after that, is you will not be allowed to say homosexual practice is sin. And if it goes that far that there's still not awakening in the church, the next thing will be that certain passages of the Bible will be considered hate speech and to be avoided. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. One line open if you want to try to get through. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Michael, my favorite voice in the wilderness. Well, all this stuff, you're very accurate. You're saying it's a battle. It is a battle. It is a war. Absolutely. The problem is we're in the shape we're in now, and not just here, but all over the world. Is that the misinterpretation of what Christian passivity is, turn the other cheek. Mm. You know, this bull. The kingdom of God has to be defended like any other, period. In other words, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to stand up for what you are, who you are, what you stand for. You're not supposed to lie down, let people roll over you. And unfortunately, the church took this feet of clay attitude some time ago. I remember everything just collapsed along with everything else. All the values and everything just, all of a sudden just seemed to disintegrate. Like there was nothing holding it up because there was nothing to hold it up. It wasn't there. It was betrayed. And then people said, well, truth, there may be a beautiful program, truth. Search for truth. Truth. T-R-U-T-H. Mm-hmm. Well, what did Ibsen say about the truth? He said, the truth is the enemy of the people. Deprive a man of this life lie, and he is unhappy. In other words, you can have all the truth in the world. If you could drop it on anybody's lap, if they won't accept it, if it goes against their own personal lives or whatever concepts they have in order to maintain whatever immorality they're living with, that's what's going to be. They're not going to listen.
That's all right. I remember your first call, and I think you were making reference to Nietzsche, and this time you're quoting Ibsen. So I'll remember you. We have a lot of Stevens in New York City, but I'll remember your voice, sir. It is one thing to say that we are not vengeful people, that we are not vindictive people, that we immediately forgive, that we show love to our enemies, that we bless those who curse us, 100%. And that's the turning the other cheek. That's overcoming evil with good. That's if your enemy hungers, feed him. But the lack of backbone, the lack of moral conviction and moral fiber, the lack of willingness to swim against the tide and go against the grain is spiritually criminal. And look at Jesus. Did Jesus lack spiritual backbone? Look at the prophets in the Old Testament. Did they lack spiritual backbone? Look at Paul and Peter. According to church tradition, John the Apostle was boiled in oil twice, and when he didn't die, they realized we better let this guy live. It was a courageous spirit. It was heroism that marked the early believers. And we need to recapture it. Hey, I've got a bunch of other calls, but Stephen, thank you for provoking us to think about these things. And I look forward to hearing from you again and seeing who you will next quote to us. I'm very serious. And thanks for speaking of me as your favorite voice in the wilderness that does not fall on deaf ears. Elvis in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My thing is that, what the pastor is saying in Florida, in my eyes, that's right according to Christianity, is that he's not going against anybody. He's just telling you what the sins are. Now, they have an issue in Colorado with this Shrine of Jesus Christ, where the war vets have up there since 1950s at the Stone Slope there, and now the atheist group is trying to remove that. My thing that puzzles me is that all these other atheist groups and other religions come down on the Christianity, and they can make songs about us, they can talk anything about us, and we have to accept it. But as soon as we say something, the world drops on our heads. Why is that?
Well, it's because, as John 15 says, remember, Jesus speaking, if the world hates you, it hated me first. Let's think of this as an example. Tim Tebow, one of the most famous athletes in America today. He was a great college football player. He's had some success in the NFL, but he's best known because of his strong, outspoken, open public Christian testimony. Now, he gets blasted for that. What if Tim Tebow was a Muslim? Do you think that the press would be able to vilify him and attack him if he was an open Muslim, that there wouldn't be an outcry? What if he was gay? And he was famous because he was an out and proud athlete. Do you believe anyone would be able to attack him and mock him because of that? Excuse me, certainly not. And yet, because he is a follower of Jesus and an open one, and from everything we understand, a legitimate one and a non-hypocritical one, people just can't have it. Elvis, bottom line is, there's a battle between light and darkness. There is
I know,
a battle.
That's one more thing I want to say, though, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I wrote this in a book a couple of years ago. I haven't got the book published yet, though, but tell you what I put. I said, you know, they call Christians crazy and lunatics and we are mad people and all these different things, right? And I put, I said, if we are a real Christian, don't want to commit adultery, kill, rob, steal, everything, you know. So have anybody ever considered why we are called lunatics? I mean, when you don't have God, you want to do all these different things. And when
right.
you have
and
God, you don't want to,
seems,
so why are we the crazy ones?
Right, it seems crazy. It seems crazy to the world that we will want to live like this and put our entire stake for now and eternity in an invisible God, our entire hope, trust. All right, I've got some comments and your calls when we come back. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as we focus on moral and cultural issues on this Wednesday, Wednesday the World. It's our normal focus, moral cultural issues. Tomorrow, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We've got a very important broadcast for you tomorrow. And then Friday, as always, God willing, you've got questions, we've got answers. Okay, before I go back to the phones, I do not have some martyr complex, okay? I'm here alive and well and breathing. I haven't been whipped and beaten today. I'm not thrown in some dark, dank prison cell. I've got a wonderful wife, kids, grandkids, a nice home to live in. The last thing in my mind is I'm some kind of martyr because people are coming against me because there's some gay activists who don't like, no, what am I, a baby? No, I highlight these things to awaken the church to righteousness. There's going to be opposition. Face it. There's going to be persecution. Face it. My dear friend, one of my closest friends in the world that I work with in India, we've almost been killed in public meetings together. Or at least been in the middle of a riot where there were people surrounding us with razor blades and knives in their hands and took the mics from us and who knows what else was coming. They had killed other people before. Yeah, that's the gospel. That's going to happen. But we need our backbone. I've said for many years that the mantra of the world and the mantra of the gay activist community towards us is we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. And what we constantly hear on these issues, well, it's too late. I mean, society's changed. You're holding to an antiquated view. Just give it up. Oh, so just like throw in the towel before we even start. Got it. I'll tell you what, we'll hold to our convictions even if the whole world mocks us. We'll hold to our convictions even when finances dry up. We'll hold to our convictions as long as they're glorifying Jesus and represent his heart. We'll hold to our convictions by his grace. What else are we going to do?
Well, it was a little hard, Lord. I mean, I was going to lose a tithing member if I preached this sermon. Well, Lord, it was a little hard. Someone sent me hate mail. Lord, I mean, you can't expect me.
Yeah, he expects us to stand up and do what's right. Yes, he does. And Jesus is our example. And the prophets of old are our example. And the apostles are our example. 2 Timothy 2, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. Come on. We've hardly had to endure anything here in America, relatively speaking, for the gospel. Our Richard in Washington, D.C. All right, we lost Richard there. Let's go to Jim in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I'm a retired teacher, a Christian, a patriot, a member of one of the largest Baptist churches in Houston, and I've been a member of that church for 12 years and recently was rejected to talk to a Bible study that I'd been a member of for years about a book entitled When the Crosses Are Gone by Dr. Michael Youssef.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Youssef, you might be familiar with, is from Egypt.
Oh, surely, surely.
And now is a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. And this guy that's in charge of who speaks at this Bible study actually had his wife at one point selling jewelry during the Bible study, but rejected me in my attempt to speak on this topic.
Now, what was the reason given?
There wasn't any, other than what he said was, we're going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, let's just say, let's put the best construction on this and then the worst, okay? Best construction would be you wanted to talk about a wonderful book on marriage, right? But they had finished their marriage classes and now we're going to deal with evangelism, so it was a new direction and it wouldn't be relevant, and that could happen. That's the best construction. The worst case scenario would be that the material of the book was too boat-rocking controversial and therefore was not an open subject. So really quickly, because we're up against the end of this hour, what would be in the book that might be considered controversial or inappropriate or something that might rock the boat in that group?
I'm having a bad connection here, Dr. Brown.
All right. Tell you what, Jim, don't worry about it, because we're up against a break here. Hopefully you can keep listening now by radio, Jim. But sometimes, look, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt and not think the worst case scenario and say, okay, well, there's a reason for it. There's a good reason for it. But a lot of times churches don't want controversy. And I do not believe in controversy for controversy's sake. You know how many things I could talk about on the radio every single day just to get you going crazy? No. I'll talk about controversial issues for constructive purposes. Many times we're just afraid that don't want to rock the boat. I could guarantee you, friends, if Jesus spent a week with us in our congregations, our boats would be thoroughly rocked. Oh, what a glorious ride it would be. What a glorious encounter it would be. But I'm telling you, our boats would be rocked. Friends, we have so many resources available for you free online to listen to watch, to read. Please go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Thanks to our faithful torchbearers, a growing army every day, which blesses us so deeply. You enable us to reach so many people. You're helping us be on the air right now. You are enabling us to put so much content online and develop more and more materials to touch people here in America and around the world and to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've got an hour more of burning topics in my heart. You can catch them online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. But I just want to make a personal appeal in case the Lord lays it on your heart to help. My dear friend in India, Yesu Padam, we go there once a year and do graduation for their ministry school grads. Some of them have been martyred for the faith, truly, literally killed, many severely persecuted, beaten. They've planted probably now 1,200, 1,300 churches. We go there now every December, but I was asked face-to-face by my brother in the States to please come in about 2 weeks for a special event there that will be an important landmark in his life and ministry, and I'll also get to minister to pastors from around the nation, but this is going to strain our budget. All of our money goes, as quick as it comes in, it goes right back out, and we need to raise a few thousand dollars to enable me to get over there and make this trip happen. If you could help with a gift, large or small, it's all tax deductible. Most importantly, it's going to make a difference in India in many lives and a difference in eternity. If you feel led to help us, never given an appeal like this, but I wanted to do it. I told my friend, and I'll mention it to my radio listeners. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. In fact, I'll send you a CD of an interview that we did that'll just absolutely blow you away. We'll do that with your gift. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate, and you'll be able to designate where this goes for the India trip. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is no surprise when the world is worldly and when darkness is dark. It's a terrible surprise when God's people are worldly and when the light is dark. Let the awakening begin with us. May we recover our spiritual backbone. May we be people of courage in Jesus. Well, friends, I don't want to say I told you so, but things are unfolding in the nation just as we said. Time for awakening in our midst.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, where do we start? Where do we start today? There is a lot to talk about. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Wednesday, we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues, the church in society. How are we to live? Last hour, I talked about a pastor in Florida whose Southern Baptist Church rents a school building, as scores and scores of other religious groups do there. Pays almost $1,500 a month to rent the high school facility. And this is a total right. The courts have ruled that this is a right to have to be in these buildings. And the pastor says that homosexual practice is sinful and wrong and does it in a gracious way. And the superintendent of schools wants him out, saying that I am rejecting prejudice and intolerance. And then over in Utah, Polygamists are saying that the ban on polygamy is unconstitutional. And then some searing indictments of Hollywood after the tragic killings in Colorado. Hey, the news, life may be going on for us. It's certainly not just going on for the victims there and their families. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. I have no joy in saying, I told you so. I have no joy in saying, I wrote about this 3 years ago, or taught about this 2 years ago, or talked about this on the radio 4 years ago. I have no joy in doing that. And I'm not, see, I'm right. I'm right. Look at that. Well, if that's what it was about, I do not deserve to have your attention and your listening ear right now. If I tell you I told you so, it's simply so you will believe me more clearly now, so I can be of help and service now. It would be like going to a doctor, and the doctor tells you, maybe you go to a chiropractor for some back issue, and he tells you, look, if you keep gaining weight and you're not going to do these stomach and back exercises I'm giving you, I'm telling you, it's going to get much worse, and you'll barely be able to get out of bed. And 1 year later, after not doing the exercise and after putting on a lot of weight, you show up there. You can barely crawl out of your bed to get to the chiropractor. And he says, look, I told you about this a year ago. It's not so he can say, see, I'm the best chiropractor around. Look at me. I warned you, and I was right. No, it's because the chiropractor wants to see you get better. And he's telling you, or she's telling you, you've got to do things differently. I warned you, now things are much worse. So when we have said, once you redefine marriage, here comes polygamy, here comes polyamory, and even here comes a call to remove incest law, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. It's just common sense, and it's unfolding in front of our midst. In fact, the fact that the media is celebrating polygamy and now celebrating polyamory tells you where it's going even before it gets to the courts, although some of these things have been in the courts for a while. And when I've been warning you that if we don't stand up for marriage today, beginning in the church and our own morality, getting our own lives in order as heterosexual followers of Jesus, if we don't stand up for that today and stand against the redefinition of marriage, then the next thing is people will tell us you cannot say that a homosexual man or woman can change. And then the next thing is they'll tell us you cannot even speak against homosexual practice from the pulpit. Here it is. We've been warning you, friends. There is a solution. But it begins with us. Okay, back with some news reports and your calls right after the break.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Moral, cultural issues that should concern us all if we are citizens living in this country and we are citizens of a heavenly country. These things should concern us because we are lights here. We are the moral conscience of the society. We are the ones called to stand for righteousness, to be ambassadors of mercy and reconciliation and healing. And that means standing for what is true and what is right. If you remember when Vice President Joe Biden came out and said that he supported redefining marriage, if you recall, he said, in effect, Will and Grace have done more to educate America than anything else. So the TV series Will and Grace, on for years. Now gay activists have said, hey, the bar is much higher. Will and Grace is not enough. And you have to understand that ultimately where gay activism is going, homosexual practice, homosexual so-called marriage, will not simply be tolerated or accepted, but must be celebrated. Well, when you see TV shows, I haven't seen them, but I've read about them, like Sister Wives and Big Love, which are polygamy shows, what's that telling you? Why is that on TV? You're not telling me that this is to normalize? Of course, the networks want to make money and sensationalize and so on, the latest reality craze, but you're not telling me it will have a normalizing effect? And yeah, well, what's wrong with that? I said it many times. It is a far more radical redefinition to say marriage is the union of two people, man and man, woman, woman, man and woman. It's far more radical redefinition of marriage to say that marriage is the union of two people than it is to say it's the marriage of a man and several women. Same-sex so-called marriage is further down the slope than is polygamy, further down the slippery slope. So here's a news report. As of today, Cody Brown and his four wives want what any family wants, to live in the privacy of their own home, free from government intrusion, and out from under the threat of criminal prosecution for, as they see it, just loving each other. The polygamous family, stars of the TLC show Sister Wives, has sued Utah and the county they fled from, hoping to persuade a federal judge to overturn the state's bigamy laws as unconstitutional. And they have on their side a major attorney who is a constitutional law professor in Washington, D.C., Jonathan Turley. For those who know anything about the marriage debate, you know he is a well-known voice. D.C., Washington, Washington, D.C., constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley. And listen to what he says. He said, it's no longer just about being prosecuted. Quote, the underlying statute is facially unconstitutional. Turley argues that under previous U.S. Supreme Court rulings, such as the one that struck down Texas's sodomy law, private intimate relationships between consenting adults are constitutionally protected. Justice Scalia warned against this with the Lawrence v. Texas ruling a few years ago and said if you decriminalize sodomy, which is basically not prosecuted anyway, but it was on the books in many states, if you decriminalize it and say that there is a constitutional right to have sexual intimacy with whoever you want to, obviously unless you're abusing a minor or something like that, if it's two men or two women, they have the constitutional right to do it, then it opens the door to all these other things. Of course it does. Of course it does. Wake up time, friends. You're going to have to get involved. As a believer, you're going to have to get involved. And you're going to have to ask God for his heart, for the homosexual community and for those practicing polygamy and polyamory. Ask God for his heart, for his love, for his compassion, and then for a backbone of righteousness with that to stand up and do what is right. 866-34-TRUTH. April in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Dr. Michael Brown, I just wanted to thank you for speaking the truth in love on the issue of homosexuality. I am one of those lives that is forever changed. And I'm grateful every day for my family and my friends who are Christians, grounded in the truth of God's word, who've prayed every day for me, and who never, ever, ever let me be deceived from the truth.
And, April, what did the Lord deliver you from? How are you living, and what is it that your parents prayed you through?
I was living a lesbian lifestyle for 9 years, and they prayed for me for 9 years, and spoke truth to me every day, where the world spoke deception and lies, and even churches who affirmed that lifestyle. I did not change, but the Holy Spirit in me changed me.
Mm.
And I am who I am today. I am married to the most amazing man. So blessed. We've been married for 4 years, and he's just incredible. And this life is so full of peace and goodness and blessing. And so this, I talk to people about this all the time, and just share my testimony and my life with them, because I want them to know what God can do. I can't even tell you how amazing it is.
Praise God for his faithfulness and his love, and for parents that loved you enough to keep praying for you. April, let me ask you this. Were you claiming to be Christian or pretending to be Christian when you were in a lesbian lifestyle?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I thought that I was saved, and I, in fact, was not. I will never forget the day that I did get saved, because it was a 180. And I repented, and I turned from my sin, and I never looked back. And not me, but the Holy Spirit in me.
During those years when you thought you were a Christian, were you in such a state of self-deception that you were without conviction, or was there still something uneasy in you because of your parents' prayers?
Sometimes it wavered. Sometimes I felt like I was in a state of really not being convicted, and I thought to myself, well, you know, if I'm in sin, then you know, I'm still saved, and I'll be forgiven. And that was a complete lie. And I allowed myself to be involved in churches and organizations that said that this lifestyle wasn't sin, and it absolutely was. And it was the torment, and that life was a life of misery. And the life that I live today in Christ is amazing.
Yeah, that's the gospel.
Amazing.
That's the gospel. And that's who Jesus is. April, let me ask you one last question.
Sure.
I don't mean on a physical relational level, but at an emotional level. The very best relationship you had in the years that you were in sin, living a lesbian lifestyle, compared to the relationship that you have with your husband— Can you contrast those for me?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. They are such a contrast. Wow. I just, I don't even know that there was a best relationship in that lifestyle, looking back. And quite honestly, I can't even myself identify, and the people who know me today, when I share my testimony, can't identify with me being that person.
Yes. I understand.
Because truly, I am a new creation. And, but the life I have today with my husband, God's forgiveness and grace and goodness, because he has just blessed my socks off. And I can't even describe, I couldn't have even imagined the life I have today with my husband. And so that's what I tell people, you know, is that, and that's what I share is what God's done. when you obey, just obey. And that's what I did. I just stepped out in obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit, not on my own accord. And this is what God did with my life.
Well, April, I deeply appreciate you calling and sharing that with our listeners. Friends, whatever situation you find yourself in, loved ones, whatever situation you find them in, there is absolute hope in Jesus.
Yes.
And he can change us.
And don't stop praying.
Don't stop praying for your friends and your family. Hang in there, persevere, and the answer will come. April, God bless you. Thank you for sharing that wonderful testimony. Jesus is faithful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Really, my joy to be with you. I'm blessed when people refer to me as a voice in the wilderness, not because there are all too few speaking out on some of these critically important moral and cultural issues. That's something that grieves me. I would rather that there were so many of us that I could do something else and focus on something else. But I'm glad that people recognize that we are speaking the truth in love, that we are raising our voice, that we are refusing to compromise even when it is politically expedient to compromise and sometimes financially expedient to compromise. By God's grace, we're going to do what's right and trust him to back us and know that in eternity, even as history looks back, it will be seen that we, together, we're standing up for that which is right. If you missed some of the things we were talking about earlier in the broadcast, pastor in Florida, Baptist, pastor, Southern Baptist, a black brother, just to paint the full picture for you so you can see who it is that is being discriminated against, spoke in his church services after Mr. Obama said that he had changed his views on marriage and now supported two men or two women getting, quote, married. This pastor preached a few messages about the subject. His church rents a high school building on Sundays, pays almost $1,500 a month to rent it, and the superintendent of schools wants him out. This is against humanity. This is against prejudice, and this is intolerant, and it's got to be out. Right now, the way the law stands, I'd be shocked if he can be put out. But this is the first of many things like this to come. Why? Because we've opened the door for it, and we've asked for it. I'm not faulting the superintendent of schools for his blindness right here. Oh, I'll have to answer to God for that. But I'm not faulting him, and I'm not faulting gay activists. I'm faulting the church that all too few have stood up and done what's right. And when we were asked to stand up for marriage, when we were asked to stand up for righteousness, and we were asked to go against the grain, all too few said yes. It's a shame, but we have to reckon it. We have to understand it. And within the body, so much compromise, so much mingling with the world, so much being entertained by the world, how can we change the world? Instead, the world has changed us. Back to the phones, our friend Chaplain Viviana in New York City. Welcome back to The Line of Fire.
God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to thank April for her testimony. It was beautiful. When you raised this subject today, I just had such a excitement. Pastor Jim Garlow and attorney Joe Infranco, he's from Skyline Church. Many people know him. And then attorney Joe Infranco is from Alliance Defending Freedom. They came
Alliance Defense Fund. Yeah. Joe's a longtime friend of mine.
Wow. Well, they came in because of the pastors and leaders of Right to Worship and City Action Coalition. They gave the same message, Michael. They said the church right now needs to be the church because we're on such a cliff. We're in such a place that the nation will go one way or another.
Yeah.
They had said, confront. The church is the only vehicle to really confront the culture and speak God's biblical truth because they have to have that truth before them and leave the consequences to God. But they are planning a Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and it could be people could get on the, it's in October, but even before then, speak the truth from the pulpit. It's pulpitfreedom.org. And they have a whole bunch of attorneys that will defend each pastor as they mm-hmm. preach biblically from the pulpit.
Right, so that they, if they make political statements and
right.
they have the right to do it, we're not talking about getting up and say, let's go to that house, that guy's house and burn it down. God
Definitely
forbid.
Definitely not.
Right, but if they'll do it, then they will back it. Let me just say something about my friend Joe and Franco. We were buddies on Long Island and been friends ever since, but we lost contact for a number of years. And I was doing a debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley in the Phoenix, uh-huh. Scottsdale, Arizona area some years back. And someone hands me a note before the debate. Joe and Franco wishes he could be here, but he can't. He has to be at his Bible study tonight. I thought, what's he doing there? But it was contact info. I had just read the book written by his bosses, Alan Sears and Craig Austin, of the Alliance mm-hmm. Defense Fund on the homosexual agenda, the principal threat to religious freedom in America today. This was early on as
book.
I was right as mm-hmm. I was researching, writing these things before in the early stages of writing my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And Joe was one of the senior attorneys working with them. He'd moved out from Long Island to be with them. And we got on the phone. We were both stunned to see that we were called into the same thing. But he said, Mike, we never dreamed of this. Never dreamed we'd be fighting this battle. He said, but every single day across the country, we get calls with court cases where believers and other people of conscience were being sued by gay activists or other organizations that were trying to strip them of their religious rights or freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. In other words, this came knocking at our door. The idea that our nation is at a critical precipice is not an overstatement. So thanks for
Michael,
sharing that.
Michael, can I
that.
Say one more thing, if
yep.
you give me permission, please?
Please, please.
I don't know if everybody knows, but right now the CEO of Chick-fil-A is
sure.
under attack. And,
oh, yeah, yeah. We've talked about it. August 1st is Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And in fact, the site was taken down on Facebook yesterday. We actually sent some information to Mike Huckabee's people as he's been sponsoring that. The mm-hmm. site was taken down. It's back up. I believe God's going to bless Chick-fil-A for saying, yeah, guilty as charged. We support marriage and family. Hey, got to run. Thank you for the
you
call.
Again.
All
God
right.
Bless.
God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll take some more calls on the other side of the break. Hey, can I just share a family need with you? I have been asked on very short notice to be in India for a very, very important meeting, working with one of my closest ministry friends in the world. We have faced some really hellish, crazy situations together in India, and I have watched many a time where he has put his life on the line for the gospel, and we have literally washed the feet of martyrs, widows there in India with the people that have been sent out to minister and preach. I normally go once a year, normally go every December and plan to go back to do our special ministry, but I found out I need to be there on short notice in about 2 weeks, and it's some thousands of dollars to make this trip possible that we simply don't have budgeted. And I said, look, I'm going to figure out, make a way to get there. But would you stand with me? Whatever is on your heart, if it's $10 or $1,000, it'll all be used directly for this trip. And what I want to do, so you'll know exactly who I'm working with, we'll send you a CD of a radio interview I did with my friend Yesu Potom and his wife Monica last year that'll really stir your hearts. But it's a tax-deductible gift. Call right now to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to the website, ask drbrown.org, click donate, and you can designate where the funds go. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, thank you, really. Thanks for holding my hands up. Oh, I'll be broadcasting live from India in the middle of the night while there. Check it out with your help. Hey, friends, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Great to have you with us today. Michael Brown, my joy. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you heard? Have you heard about the lawsuit? The stars of the Sister Wives show. Come on, the fact is on the media. The media is celebrating polygamy. Of course, there are going to be lawsuits arguing for this. Of course, we can expect it. Talked earlier in the program about a pastor in Florida. Rents a public school. Many of you listening go to church services in public school buildings that are rented by your churches. And the courts have ruled in favor of that some years ago. Yeah, you open the door to one, you got to open the door to others. These can be used. And lo and behold, he preaches some messages graciously about homosexual practice is not worse than any other sin, but it is sin. Explains why. And the superintendent of schools wants him out. Should we be surprised? And check this out. I've got a bunch more to talk about, but just to get your holy blood boiling. And then we turn to the Lord. We look in the mirror. We search our heart for our own sin, hypocrisy in our own lives. We repent, asking for forgiveness and grace. We seek to do what's right. And then we get some spiritual backbone and stand for righteousness in the world. With this lawsuit in Utah, listen to what Stanford University constitutional law expert Jane Schachter says. In many ways, the movement for the rights of polygamists has not advanced enough to the point where the claim is going to seem legitimate in the courts. She noted there's, quote, much more acceptance of gay couples, of homosexuality in general. Polygamy opens up a whole can of legal worms that is not really open with the same-sex marriage issue. But, point of fact, America changed its view on homosexual practice. It's going to change its view on polygamy, polyamory, and even incestuous relationships unless the church awakens. Fact. 866-34-TRUTH. I am holding in my hands a very intense open letter to Christopher Nolan, who produced the Batman movie, and Sean Penn and Warner Brothers from Charles Hurt. I want to read that to you, even let you know about a lawsuit, the first lawsuit that has been launched or being filed, is about to be filed after the tragic, tragic massacre in Colorado last week. I want to get to those things, but first to the phones. Anonymous caller, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I heard your testimony from a woman that was in a lesbian lifestyle for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to call because it moved me when I heard that. I have been in that lifestyle for 30 years. And I was saved in 2004, and for 5 years I was alone, trying to find my way through life, and it's very difficult. Then mm-hmm. I fell back in 2009, and I had tried to find scripture. You know, I tried to find my way to twist scripture around so that I could go back to the lifestyle, and what I found was A Jewish gentleman was telling me that Leviticus was only saying that men were the ones that were told by God that they could not practice homosexuality because of their seed being spilled, and that it was okay for a woman. So when I found that, I guess that gave me the right to go back in my mind at the time. Well, I went through that for 2 years and came out of it, and I'm out of it now. But I just wanted to say that it's very, very, very difficult
mm-hmm.
when it's all you've ever known.
Right.
And you go out into a world, and, you know, I'm 51 now, and I don't have a husband. I don't have children. You're alone. You have nothing, and you have no one, family-wise. And it's just very difficult, I have to say that. And
all right, please stay on the line. It's so important that our listeners realize the depth of struggle that so many can have, the loneliness, the difficulties, the challenge. I do have some words that I believe can help. Please stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
God, Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. It's Wednesday, which means our focus is on the world, moral, cultural issues. If you think these don't matter to us as believers, if you say, well, the only thing that matters is that we get people saved, well, that's not scriptural. We're supposed to make disciples, right? Go into all the world, make disciples of the nations. So here's my question. How does a disciple live? Aren't disciples called to be salt and light? Aren't disciples called to stand for righteousness? Aren't disciples called to expose darkness? Aren't disciples called to stand for justice? Aren't disciples called to do acts of mercy? 866-348-7884. Oh, let me just do this quickly, and then we will go back to our caller. And let me say this. I'll do this other thing in a moment. It's relevant, but I'll wait for a moment. The reason that I want everyone listening to really take in what this caller is saying, last half hour, we had a caller from Houston named April who was wonderfully delivered from 9 years in lesbianism. She went to churches that affirmed her lesbian practice. She said, well, even if I'm sinning, I'm still forgiven and saved. Her parents never quit praying for her. She's been wonderfully saved, wonderfully transformed, overflowing with joy in Jesus, married to a wonderful man for 4 years. That's glorious. Boy, that's the power of the gospel, and we absolutely rejoice. At the same time, it's not so easy for many. And it's one thing for us to say we oppose the redefinition of marriage. It's one thing for us to say homosexual practice is sin. It's another thing for us to take someone by the hand who's only known same-sex relations for decades and probably in their entire life only known same-sex attractions. That's the only community that they've had that takes them in as they are and doesn't tell them they have to change, that embraces them for who they are, and that has relationships within that context. We need to understand as a body very, very deep, profound struggles that people go through who are same-sex attracted and now want to follow Jesus and realize clearly that they cannot practice homosexuality and be disciples of Jesus at the same time. Of all people that are coming our way or that we're reaching out to, we need to have compassion and long-suffering and true friendship. Sisters need to be true friends with a woman like this and really get involved in her life and stand with her and be the best friend she's ever had in a holy and righteous way. And then to pray with her as she lives a holy life that God would even touch her heart and even bring a man into her life where the two of them could come together. Thanks for holding through the break. Again, I'm not being insensitive by not calling you by your first name. You've just identified as anonymous, which alone should tell our listeners the struggles because well, there's shame of...
Yes, I've been in corporate America my whole career, and I was in the closet all through the 80s and 90s. I'm still in the closet now. So that's another struggle, that you come to work every day and you can't talk about what you've been doing and what kind of life you have and your love and all of that. But I've come past that. Now I'm at an age and a time where I look back and I can't change how I've lived. I see it as a sin. I've never been for gay marriage, ever. Mm-hmm. I live in the suburbs. I do not associate with a gay crowd. I never have.
Yeah.
Even when I was in a relationship, my longest was 10 years. The struggle I'm having now is I want to change my life. I want to have a testimony in the future. I can't talk about this now.
Yes.
Because it's too difficult. And I don't want people to judge me.
It's too real in your life right now. It's not just the past that Jesus delivered you from. Can I ask if you fully believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and forgiven you and that God looks at you as his wonderful daughter?
Yes, but I have not forgiven myself for all the sin I have committed. And that's partying, the whole gay lifestyle I lived. And, you know, like I said, I was a corporate executive and I carry myself well. I don't look gay, I don't think. But I have, like you said, all my life, before I figured out or thought I figured out I was gay, I was 20 years old. And before that, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I knew something was wrong because I kept identifying with females. sexually or attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now at this time, I have completely come back. You know, I was only saved in 2004.
Yeah.
But the problem with it is I have nowhere to go, and it's very lonely because you can't talk about it when you're around straight people, but you also don't fit in because you've never been in it. You've never lived it. You've never been with them.
Right, or even just to have a relationship with godly women that's not romantic, that's not sexual, that is of a deep quality, that's something new. First thing we have to really do is pray that God gets you into a solid, solid church home and brings some really godly friends into your life, both male and female, that can just be your friends. You know, forget sexual issues, forget the past, just friends. Because we need friends, we need companions. There is that loneliness, and as you listen to me describe things, now I'm 57, just like homosexuals can't relate to being heterosexual. I'm heterosexual. I can't relate to being homosexual, but I've read enough, I've listened enough, I've prayed enough to really try to get into the heart and the mind of those who are same-sex attracted. When I describe the struggles that someone like you would go through, is that fairly accurate?
Yes, I listen to you every day, and I really appreciate and the time and the devotion you've taken to reach out to the gay community. I just wish more of them were listening.
Yeah, well, a lot do. We hear from them, actually. We hear from folks that will even post on gay activist websites bashing me, and then say, he just said this on the radio. That's how we found out they were listening, and some we've reached out to and had extensive interaction with in the midst of differences. Let me ask one last question.
What happens is the gay people go to churches that accept them. I was in a religious New Age movement for 10 years. I almost became a minister. So when we get around those kind of people, they embrace, like what you're dealing with now. They embrace each other, so they go there because they're comfortable. They don't want a Jesus or a God telling them that they're a sinner. They want someone to embrace and love them and have the tickling of the ears.
Absolutely. Have you read Joe Davis's book, The Gay Gospel?
No, I have the Jonah book, the Torah and the...
Okay, all right. Here's what I want to do. And Andrew's going to talk to you as soon as we get off the air, and this is all in complete confidentiality in terms of your identity and things. I've got a book I'm holding in my hands that was sent to me by the author, Sharon Lawson. It's called The Sweet Lie of Lesbianism, The Deception I Thought Would Make Me Happy. It's an amazing read. It's a short book, and I found it, as a heterosexual male follower of Jesus, I found it spiritually tremendously insightful and right on. I think it'll give you hope. And then Joe Dallas's book, The Gay Gospel, I'm 99% sure we have one of those in stock, too. And we'll send you both of those books. Joe lived the life of a so-called gay Christian for years. I think he played organ and was involved in ministry and was living that truly double life, thinking it was a whole life before the Lord really delivered him.
Well, here's the thing. Once you get in the church, which I am in community Bible study, a year-long class, however, none of these women know that I had that lifestyle. We don't even know how to approach them. We don't know what to say. We don't want to say it. We don't want to tell them because we think they'll judge us.
Right, and that's a terrible, right. Somehow, and everyone in ministry and just folks that attend churches, please hear me. We need to be so sensitive to the Lord and to ask him for his heart for those who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction and to ask God for a welcoming spirit so that someone can come in our midst, even if we're saying we're speaking out against redefining marriage in our state, at the same time, they will feel such a welcoming, loving spirit that they will be able to open up. And when they open up, they'll be embraced all the more. When they open up, instead of having 3 friends, they'll have 10 friends. And hey, the past is the past. You're our sister. You're our brother.
Well,
we want to stand with you.
One more thing, Michael, I want to get in is that when we do this, we cut everybody out of our lives, so we're alone.
Yes.
When we decide to come out of it, I have to cut fellowship. I have no choice. Or I can't walk with the Lord.
Yeah, 100% clear. You have no choice, otherwise you'll constantly get pulled back. It's the same with any major lifestyle change we make, but this all the more deep because it affects our most fundamental relationships. Friends, there is blood on our hands as believers because so many have felt they couldn't come to us or tried to, and we wouldn't receive them in the midst of their struggles. All the more, let's demonstrate the love of Jesus. Hey, thank you so much for calling. I wish I could address you by name, but thank you for calling and sharing that. It is such an important message for us to hear in the church today. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am making a quick change in direction here. There's an article I was going to read, a couple of articles I was going to share with you. I'm not going to do that. I will try to get to another call or two, 866-34-TRUTH. But just saw this announcement sent by our friend Laurie Higgins at the Illinois Family Institute. Are you ready? The Chicago Tribune is reporting that Chicago Alderman Joe Marino is blocking the construction of a Chick-fil-A in his ward because of owner Dan Cathy's beliefs about marriage. Since Dan Cathy's beliefs are explicitly religious, Marino's effort would seem to violate the Illinois Human Rights Act, which states the following. It is the public policy of this state, freedom from unlawful discrimination, to secure for all individuals within Illinois the freedom from discrimination against any individual because of her race, color, religion, sex, national origin, ancestry, age, marital status, physical or mental handicap, military status, sexual orientation, unfavorable discharge from military service in connection with unemployment, real estate transactions, access to financial credit, and the availability of public accommodations. The Tribune further reports that Mayor Rahm Emanuel backed Moreno's ideological viewpoint, saying the city does not share the values espoused by Dan Cathy, president of the family-owned Chick-fil-A fast food restaurant chain. Lori Higgins says, really? The entire city of Chicago rejects the belief that marriage is a union between one man and one woman? To whom exactly is King Rahm referring? Does he speak for all of the little people in his kingdom? Obviously, Lori is thoroughly displeased with these statements and is exposing the extreme intolerance and bigotry of them. Moreno has decided that no one who wishes to do business in his ward can express the belief that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. The hubris and ignorance in his words and actions are astonishing. The threat to speech rights and religious liberty, frightening. We've been telling you, friends, the day is already here. We're a respected national chain. The owner, the president, the CEO cannot say, yo, we support marriage and family. Absolutely. We say marriage is a union of a man and a woman. Yeah, absolutely. That's what we do. Can't say that. Can't say, oh, but if you're Microsoft or Starbucks in Washington State, you can donate a ton of money to redefining marriage in your state and get celebrated for it. Your Apple computers or your Bank of America or you whoever, Duke Energy here in Charlotte, along Bank of America, Wells Fargo, you can say we stand for redefining marriage and pour money into gay activist organizations and, oh, we'll applaud you. Friends, this, why do you think we've been sounding the alarm? Do you understand this affects all of us? You understand this is not something we can run from anymore? You understand that next you'll be told what you can and can't preach? Well, it may not be immediate, but it's coming. How can you say it's not? How can you see these things happen and say it's not coming? Here, look, Mike Huckabee, very grieved over what's happening with the attack on Chick-fil-A. Mike Huckabee puts up on Facebook a page. It's a support Chick-fil-A Day, you know, love Chick-fil-A Day, and encourages everyone to go there August 1st. Now, aside from the fact that it's a Christian company closed on Sundays, even though that would theoretically be their busiest day, just like there's a massive photo photo equipment store in New York City, B&H Photo and Video, that's run by Orthodox Jews. So they close from late Friday afternoon through Saturday. That would be a massive business day in the city, New York City. Nope. They do it for their Jewish convictions. Dan Cathy has Chick-fil-A closed on Sundays because of his Christian convictions. Aside from that, aside from the fact that they are very gracious and actually say thank you and you're welcome and my pleasure and stuff like that, aside from that, you know, the food's as good as any other fast food place. But he puts this up on Facebook. He puts this up on Facebook, and yesterday, lo and behold, it's taken down. Say, we got in touch with their folks and sent them what happened to us. Could it be the same reason that my site for A Queer Thing Happened to America was taken down? Complaints by gay activists? Gay activist organizations or those that just band together and say, let's take this down? This is the state of things, friends. This is the state of things. Even though state after state after state, 31 out of 31 so far, have voted and said marriage is the union of a man and a woman, you don't dare hold to that viewpoint. And by the way, the election's coming up. There's going to be voting in four more states. It could be that those states swing the other way. But if someone wants to make a big fuss out of that, all right, 31 to 4. And maybe there'll be 35 to 0. We shall see where things ultimately fall. Friends, our religious liberties are under attack. Our freedom of speech, freedom of conscience under attack. What do? We examine our own lives for hypocrisy and double standards. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We commit ourselves afresh to stand for righteousness, to walk in righteousness, to do what is right in God's sight. We ask for a heart of love and compassion for the homosexual community, and we commit to do what's right at any cost or consequence. And friends, we have a ton of resources on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Take advantage of those. Archive broadcast for The Line of Fire, really all 2 hours today, very important to listen to. So go to the website later today and download the shows. You can subscribe for free by podcast. And we offer so much for free because of the generous support of so many listeners. We need much more help, but we are a long way along the process thanks to so many of you standing with us. Hey, I have a special personal ministry need I want to share with you. One of my closest friends in the world, Brother Yesu Padam, we have had our lives threatened together for the gospel in India, and he has almost been killed and been threatened numerous times. I need to be there on short notice. I just found out from him in about 2 weeks. It's only several thousand dollars. It's just not in our budget to do. So I said, well, tell you what, I'm going to make the need known. I'm going to figure out a way to get over there. And if you feel prompted to help me, we'll do some ministry to pastors that are going to be gathering from all over the country. And while I'm there, we'll broadcast live from India in the middle of the night. We have a way to make the connection and do a quality broadcast. If you feel prompted to help, whether it's a gift of $10 or $1,000, just do whatever's on your heart. And I believe if I'm supposed to get over there for this unexpected trip, it'll fall into place. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or just go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, click donate, and we'll send you a CD of an interview I did with Yesu Padam and his wife Monica that'll blow you away as well. And to the end of the week, we still have that special arrangement with Logos Software. So please go to the website, www.logos.com/lineoffire. If you get a base package, you get a 15% discount plus our ministry, Line of Fire, will get 15% donation. Or just get any book. You'll have free software that comes with it and a 15% donation to us. So go to logos.com, logos.com/lineoffire, or call them at 1-800-875-6467. 1-800-875-6467. Make sure you mention The Line of Fire. My bottom line, we only have one life. The clock is ticking. Enough with our excuses. Enough with our grand promises for tomorrow. Let's do the will of God today.